Fitzy and Whipper.
Nova. Let's fire off some national anthem. The PM, how's this? On his way to make a speech about economics in Melbourne on Wednesday. That was yesterday, guys. He stopped and dropped a $5 note into the homeless man's little cup as he sits on the side of the road. Everybody is now critical of the PM because, in the other hand, he had a wad of cash, maybe paying for his parking in the city. I don't know what the other cash was for.
So he had shrapnel in one hand, notes in the other.
Yeah, no, he looks like he's got a 50, a 20, and a 10, and a 5 in the other hand.
See, I didn't think that Malcolm Turnbull would walk around with cash.
No, but knowing how much he has in a personal fortune anyway, this looks even worse. Because PMs don't get paid... overseas where they get millions. Mm. Over here they don't. So on one hand you could forgive him, but knowing that he can really afford more than a fiver, he looks like a cheapskate.
Can we not celebrate the fact that he stopped to give the man a $5 note? I mean, it just seems very negative. Here's a man on the street looking for anything.
I know.
And he's given him $5. If he'd walked past... wouldn't have been a story.
Yeah.
If he hadn't had the other money in his hand, wouldn't be a story.
Remember back in the day, like with buskers and homeless people on the side of the road?
$5?
Like $2. Whew. $2 used to be massive.
Huge.
Back in the day. Now I reckon $2 even looks a little bit scungy when you walk past them. If you can give a homeless person $5... their eyes really light up.
Yeah, but what can you buy with $5 these days? You can barely get a bottle of water.
You'll get food for that.
No, you need to give them a tenner.
Oh, Sarah.
No way.
God, that's 5 games on KG Bird.
So, I mean, says if you... that's charms if you're on the Charmed app. I mean, or Happen or whatever it's called. I mean, it's a tough one. When you're a wealthy man, right, Zuckerberg would do this all the time. Mm. Remember he didn't leave a tip at a restaurant and everyone went, but you're worth so much.
Yeah, it's
what
tough.
What am I meant to do?
I know.
Is Malcolm Turnbull meant to find every homeless man and give them $5?
Do you... I don't... When I get a coffee, for some reason, it's weird for the people that I tip... because for some reason, I get really angry with taxi drivers, but for some reason, I tip them all the time.
Yeah, I do too.
I always round it up to the nearest 10 or the nearest 5.
Yeah, you are generous in a cab.
See, restaurants, on the other hand, sometimes I just don't feel like tipping, where I think that you should be tipping them more.
Wouldn't that be because your expectation is different? You go to a restaurant to be looked after and to enjoy it, and it's sort of a luxurious experience. A cab, you just really want to get from A to B in one piece.
I don't know, but I don't know why I feel like I have to tip them all the time.
I think sometimes I tip the taxi driver because I reckon it's a hard grind.
Yeah.
They got a lot of competition with Uber out there in the market. They sit around, they're on their bum all day.
Yep, they're on the phone while they're driving with you in the car.
It's a bit of a... I'm not tipping them because I think I'm a crap passenger.
Yeah.
I just reckon it's a tough grind. You're waiting at the airport a lot. You're looking for your next fare.
You know, you are right, though, about Malcolm Turnbull, though. This says a lot. He's a shrapnel man. If he's doing it there, he's never giving out notes anywhere else.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's always just giving out the shrapnel.
That's the thing.
It's not good enough, Malcolm.
What do you want from him, mate?
Well,
what should he have handed him? Where does he stop?
A pineapple.
What is he worth?
A 50.
Oh, yeah. 100? 60? $60?
Who's carrying $100 bills?
No, 100 million. That's what he's
worth. What's he worth? Yeah. I mean, he's worth enough. I mean, he's not meant to just carry around wads of 50 for every homeless.
No.
Could you imagine there'd be the whole homeless community of Australia following Malcolm Turnbull anywhere he went?
Well, he could use the votes.
Oh, give us a 50. I don't think they're registered.
Or just buy a couple of big issues, you type prick. I love a good viral video as well. A couple have come out overnight, Sarah. Hey, road rage, how do you go? So do you fire up a bit on the road if someone has a crack at you?
I'll hit the steering wheel, and I really want to beep, but then I think you contribute to noise pollution.
You know what
I find
myself doing a lot of, Sarah, is where I go, what does it really matter?
Yeah.
Which is a good approach if someone cuts you off. What does it really matter?
Now, I like to get on the old treadly every now and then, the push bike. How do you guys go with push bikes?
Avoid
do you
them.
Like bikes?
I agree. I hate people on bikes.
Yeah, me too.
Sorry, you scare me. I'm always thinking that when you're going along, if your wheel turns or you fall off, I'm going to hit you. Even though I've given you plenty of room, I'm terrified you're going to swerve and I'm going to hit you.
And don't pull up in front of the car at the lights, for God's
sake.
Well,
it's narrow-minded views like that are making it dangerous for bikers on the road. Mm. And this is over in the States. I just can't believe... It's just unbelievable with the state that they're in at the moment, the United States of America. So this guy, this bike has sort of cut off this guy in his car. The guy's got out of the car and the guy on the bike started filming this. Mm. Just have a listen to this bloke.
Don't hit me. Huh?
What are you going to do? Huh? Put it on tape? Huh? Yeah. Is that what you're going to do? Tough guy.
You want to be a tough
call
guy? You're not so tough right now, are
call
you?
Call the cops.
You're not so tough, are you, small guy? You're a short little guy.
I'm following the law. You're not following the law.
You're a tiny little man.
Vehicle
code.
21760, 3C.
I'll smack you so good. Whoa. If there wasn't any witnesses, you know what I'd do to you? I'd pull Trump on
What's
you.
What's your name?
Huh? Oh. My name is your worst enemy, mother... My name is your worst enemy.
Wow. My name is your worst enemy.
I agree with him. I get it.
Wow.
I get it.
Come on, man.
Bike riders are a pain in the bum.
Oh, God.
They do my head in.
Give me a break. Oh, what, every single bike rider?
Every one of them.
You are the guy out of the viral video.
Yep, I'm that guy ready to film.
I'll pull Trump on you. This is another one. And I always thought it was a myth that... monkeys or baboons actually throw poo at people.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I didn't think that was true.
I've seen it before where they do. I remember being at a zoo where the gorilla had his back to the crowd and he just dug dirt out of the ground and then he would spin around and throw it at everybody.
So dirt.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this was a zoo over in the States and there was two little girls. They were throwing food at the baboon. And they were firing up and dancing in front of it and they were there with their family. Their father was videotaping. And the baboon throws poo at him. Have a listen to this.
I'll give you food!
Uh-oh. Oh, God damn it. Look.
Listen. Are you okay?
You're okay?
Let my shirt...
Where's the napkin? We need a napkin.
I thought only Robert Hughes was getting that treat.
It's
on a prison yard. Unbelievable.
Catfish. You ever heard the term catfish?
Mate, I've seen the movie. Was it a doco? No, it was fake, wasn't it? It was real.
No, it's real.
It was real.
Yeah.
So the term is when you get to know somebody online, but it's not actually the real person.
That's right.
Or who you think it might be.
Yeah. And
catfish.
It happens to quite a bit. You hear it usually with elderly people who get sucked in and they think that they've found their beautiful wife.
Yeah. So there's women who transfer money to men overseas in Nigeria. I think they've found love. Turns out they don't exist.
There is a television show on MTV and there's a guy that they've got coming up in their latest episode who's delusional. Because have a listen to the promo for the latest show.
I've been talking to this woman for the last 6 years. I'm in love with her. It's Katie.
Spencer seems to think he's been in a relationship with singer Katy Perry. He's just never met her.
So for 6 years, he thinks he's been... He's never Skyped, never spoken on the phone, and this poor guy thinks that he's been...
Oh, so he's being catfished by a fake Katy Perry.
Yes.
Surely he should know it's not. Her trolling for dates on the internet.
They have his mates around him. They have, you know, his family. And he's like, no, I don't care what you say.
He's convinced.
It's Katy Perry. Oh. And then they're showing him photos of John Mayer. And going, well, look, Katie went out with this guy for a couple of years, and he's going, I don't believe it. And then they showed Russell Brand. She was married to this guy, and he goes, no, well, she didn't mention him at all on the computer.
That's weird. Anything to do with Orlando Bloom
with
no pants
on a
windsurfer board? What do you think about that, mate?
It happens to the best as well. There was a rapper, a female rapper called Krayshawn, right? And she put a song together and Diplo's huge in the industry. So she sent it to his website, right? And some guy hacked into the website and saw that they received this email. Ooh. So this catfish guy was a fake Diplo, was actually saying, well, no, that's fine. It's a great song. And they started a relationship online. She thought she was talking to Diplo for 2 years. And then he started sending photos of his old fella.
What?
Saying, send something back to me.
Did she?
And she started, this was after 2 years. And she said, this is getting a bit weird. So she got the email address. And then I actually sent a DM to Diplo on Twitter, and the real Diplo went, no, that's not me.
Oh, no.
Who's engaging in this stuff for 2 years before they do a bit of Google work?
Well, the other bad one was Paul George, who's in the Dream Team now. He plays for the Indiana Pacers, right, in the NBA.
Yeah.
Worth squillions. He gets sucked in by it. He thinks it's a model. This model online.
Understandable.
Starts talking to her for a couple of months. He starts sending nude photos of himself, and it's a bloke.
Oh, man.
He's sending photos
if
to a guy.
If you are a person of that profile with that wealth, you don't need to be falling in love online.
No.
You've got girls throwing themselves at you.
That's
and
ridiculous.
God, I mean, do your research before you send out a pic of your member.
I mean, when is this guy? I mean, what's the moment in this guy's life where he goes, okay, all right, this Katy Perry relationship may not be happening.
Let's check in with him once he does see the Orlando Bloom pics. Yeah. I reckon that might be the moment of going, oh God, have a look at that. The Bachelor last night, Megan gone, walked out of there. You could tell she was getting frustrated.
I think it's disappointing.
It's a pressure cooker, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like I've said, when you've got one cock and 22 hens in one house, they're all fighting over it, there comes a moment in time where all the girls are going to go, you know, come on, is this really worth it? Why are we squabbling and fighting like this?
She was one of the ones, though, that actually stood a chance, and she appeared to be relatively normal. Some of the other ones should have taken the hint and done the walk.
We spoke to Osha yesterday, though, and Osha said, don't believe everything that you read. And we knew that she was coming out, or there was an article saying that she was coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
But he said, don't believe, I reckon she's going back in.
No.
I mean, is it a one-way door? Yeah. Are you allowed to have a week off and go, you know what, I'm going to go back in again and fight for him?
I reckon he just tried to throw us off the scent.
Have you guys noticed Richie's got an extremely nervous laugh? I mean, he's in constant situations where he's on the spot, but this laugh just happens so often in the show. When he doesn't know what to say,
tough.
I mean, yes, last night when the, you don't call them intruders, do you?
Yep, intruders.
Three girls that arrived and one of them was on a horse. You had to come through like just a pool of mud in the middle of nowhere. One was on a motorbike, one was on a four-wheeler, the next one's on a horse. Yeah. I don't know why, but every time the one girl would get off whatever they were riding and bang, ha, 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 ha. Richie didn't know what to say.
It's tough though. It's very tough because how do you react?
Yeah,
you need to have a good fake laugh.
Here was the big moment though last night, Kira. Is that her name?
I never
say that with any confidence. Here was her line to Kiki during a fight last night.
What have I said and what have I done? You asked me to come talk to you, so I've come talk to you. Go away, peasant. Sorry, what?
Go away, peasant.
Peasant is brutal. Now, if you, especially if you're someone from middle class you hear that one from someone from privilege.
Yep.
That is the worst thing you can be called.
So offensive.
But Kira, in that situation, all Kiki needs to turn around and say is 9 wives and 63 kids.
Yeah, well, that's right.
You've got a pretty strong comeback. Cult!
We need one of these in Sydney. This is a great idea, Sarah.
What do you got?
Yep, what is that?
This is for the people of Brisbane, though. There's a safe and thoroughly adorable option to get around after a few drinks for the girls at night. Okay, 57-year-old Kathy Ratings has self-styled herself as the Grandma Uber, offering safe, reliable and familiar transport for women, or anyone for that matter, for the areas surrounding Brisbane's inner city nightlife precincts. Ratings has come out and she said, I just want those women to have no fear. It's the greatest pleasure for me when I pick them up in my Toyota Cressida.
Mm-hmm.
And we go for a bit of a drive.
Isn't
this is
lovely?
A brilliant. We should have more grandmas. She injured herself at work, so she can't work anymore. So she said, I'm going to just jump into an Uber and pick up young girls at night who need a lift home from getting on the booze.
In the fancy Ubers, I mean, often you'll do mints and maybe a bottle of water if you're lucky. Is she doing shortbreads and a doily in the back seat?
Crown mints and dog food.
Dog food?
Well, she is a grandma.
Yeah. That's not
sometimes
bad.
They do have a bit of dog food laying around.
Dentures.
She's got a Toyota Cressida, sheepskin seat covers, which is great.
She's got a Zimmer frame in the back, or is there room for luggage?
Well, they get a little bit nervous about her because she also, the seat's positioned so far forward that her chin's over the steering wheel.
Oh, okay.
You know how grandma's...
really old granny, she's sitting on
a
high chair.
Doesn't have fluffy dice.
Okay, sure.
She has a bag full of mothballs that dangle down from the rear view mirror. You have to listen to Barry Manilow, which is always good.
So you're definitely asleep by the time you get home.
Yeah.
Right.
Barry Manilow, or you have to listen to Alan Jones. If you're getting home really early, because Alan goes up to Brisbane now. Has anyone heard the promos for Alan Jones on 2GB?
Alan.
So it's just basically, says Alan Jones, and it just has every caller that's pumping Alan up. Like, I heard this one yesterday.
Alan Jones!
Oh, we love
love you, Alan. You should be our Prime Minister and The Bachelor on Channel 10. What I would do to you, Alan, I'd start by dropping your pants.
Oh,
that was...
Was that true?
That was a promo yesterday.
2GB, the power station. where do we go from here? So, back to Grandma, do we, mate?
So you also, I mean, you also, it's a full experience. You get to go through her photo album of all her grandkids, which is good as well.
I mean, you're allowed to get out when she's halfway through a story about what she did during the war.
It's hard to get out because she tells stories. The only bad thing, a lot of people are blowing up because when you get out, you have to pay by check.
Oh, how annoying. How annoying.
Test. And now it's time for Tom, the overweight looking Russell Brand producer. Tom time.
I love your commitment to this segment.
Thank you, Whipper. Hi,
so
Fitzy.
Much so that you stand up, you get out of your chair as if your delivery is crucial for this.
Hi, Fitzy. Hi, Whipper. Hi, Sarah. Nice
hello,
to see
Tommy.
You on a beautiful Thursday morning in Sydney.
When we first started radio, we actually got taught that when you are doing radio and speaking into the mic, it is better to stand up and open yourself up to the family that are listening.
Yeah, fully open.
So you've got to put your arms out, Sarah, over the microphone and go, welcome to my world.
Neither of you stand up once during the show unless it's to go to the toilet or get a coffee.
I'm halfway through my breakfast set.
With his feet are often on the windowsill.
Oh, that is not true. I'm now, focused 100% of the time. What do you want, your mess?
If you are listening for the first time, thanks so much for listening to the Fitzy Weber Show. We do appreciate that. And this is a segment called Tom Time. I have three incriminating questions. The answer is either Fitzy or Whipper. And today's prize, thanks to the Sage Institute of Fitness, is dinner for two at Cafe Sydney.
Oh, wow.
Ooh la la.
What do you make the segment about learning stuff?
Yes.
Like, what do you learn things?
Yeah, you'd be learning the behind the scenes.
Criticisms, though.
The behind the scenes workings of the Fitzy Weber Show.
I feel bullied.
Can we chat?
You got me. The B word.
Paul in Cabramatta. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you? Good morning, Tom and the others.
Good
how
on you, Paul.
Oh, Paul.
You're my favourite caller,
that'd
Paul.
That'd be a good name for a show. Tom and the others.
There we go. All right, Paul, let's hope you win. Question number one. Now, Paul, if you call the Fitzy and Whipper Show, normally Magic Millie will take your call. Who told off Magic Millie the other day because three callers in a row asked him how he was going? He said, quote, tell them not to ask me how I am ever. Would that be Fitzy or would that be Whipper?
Oh, that's a tough one, but I think that might have been Whipper.
It was Whipper.
Well, it was more of a slap because the coffee was late.
Wow.
So really, I mean...
So he's not getting out of his chair, Sarah. Yeah. He's getting it delivered. I
mean, so Fitzy goes down the hallway, but your coffee's late.
We do it every day. Like, why would the coffee not be 10 minutes late one day and then be 15 minutes late the next day?
Good on you, mate. Hey, Paul, you've got to get the last one correct to take home the chockies. Here we go, two to go.
Oh, is this the last one?
Three
questions.
Yeah, two to go, mate.
Two to go, Paul.
Fitz, if you can just let me run.
Sorry, you got me all excited then. All
okay, right. Paul.
Settle down, Paul.
Paul, how are you going?
What are you wearing, Paul?
Question number two. There's a lot of talk over
Golly's. Pull his mic down. Wait for his answer.
Who watched Usain Bolt's 100-meter final while he was meant to be watching Jonah Hill's latest movie? Would that be Fitzy or would that be Whipper?
That's got to be Fitzy.
That's good.
So what, you left the movie, did you?
Yeah, I left the movie at 11:25 on the dot, watched Usain Bolt, and I actually walked back into the cinema and went, yes! Everyone looked around.
You didn't mention that to Jonah Hill when we spoke to him yesterday, did you?
No. Great movie, though. War Dogs in cinemas today.
Missed half of it.
All right, question number three. Good luck, Paul. You got this one in the back. Every Friday, we do wrap-up of the week. Now, who forced wrap-up of the week to be cancelled last week because he thought somebody else in the team would write it for him? Would that be Fitzy who's expecting his raps to be written, or would that be Whip?
I think that would be Whipper.
Absolutely!
It's because the coffee was late.
Wow.
The coffee was late. I know. It's terrible.
Paul, you won dinner for two at Cafe Sydney. Well done, mate.
Oh, thank you so much. The missus will be so happy.
Good on you, Paul.
Again this time tomorrow, Paul. I'd love to chat further about your life and what your future plans are.
Got to talk about a couple that got busted ripping off $650,000 from the tab. Now, I'm thinking, how did they do this?
That?
This was on the news last night, Sarah, and I just want you to have a listen to it. It's actually, and then I want to talk about it afterwards. Have a listen.
Trevor worked in TAB's claims department in Granville and had access to the computer system. It's from there detectives allege he would look through the files of unclaimed winnings and reproduce the tickets. His wife would then go to another TAB and cash in.
So
I love that. What a great...
But I'm thinking to myself, that's these people haven't cashed in the ticket, so you're actually just doing it for them. I know it's wrong, but I was
it's
thinking.
It's free
in
money.
I'm thinking in the back of my mind.
I
this
know what
is,
you mean.
This is foolproof. Now, the first one that they cashed in, have a listen to this one.
On one forgotten ticket, they collected $10,000.
Who's not collecting a $10,000 ticket?
The drunkest man at the races who doesn't realise he's won.
Or who lost his ticket.
They were getting away with it, though, for quite a while, and then they got too greedy.
Their biggest windfall came in February, after allegedly reproducing 268 tickets, landing them more than $60,000.
So they were driving around from tab to tab, right? Just going around and just knowing they would make out, they'd have a beer and make out that they were playing the, on the greyhounds or on the trots. But then in the back of their mind, they knew the whole time that they had all these winning tickets in their pockets. $63,000 in one day they cashed in.
So how did they get busted?
Because that was stupid because they did that all in one day, right. And then they just went, wait up. They've got all got... And then they went to the CCTV and it was the same people cashing in the same one.
Because the other issues would be if somebody then found their ticket or just hadn't got round to claiming it and turned up with the identical ticket.
Yep.
And they said,
sorry. Well, that's the thing.
No, it's already been claimed. Then you'd go, well, hang on a minute. And the minute their cash vault starts to drain all of a sudden when this guy just decides to start printing fake tickets to claim it, they'd be going, who's accessing it?
It's just... But it would be great to know if you could go down to the pub but knowing that you've already got a couple of winners in your pocket.
Yep. And to drink beer and act that you're angry because the horse didn't come in.
Oh, man, it's come off again. Oh, wait up. I've got a winner here.
I've lost $20, but I'm about to walk out with $60,000. The big day, guys. It is so special to everybody. Well, sorry, says.
Oh, what?
Oh, don't.
Well, Whipper.
But it wasn't that.
Well, it was special to me. It just ended differently to yours.
Looking back on it. For now.
Yeah.
Looking back on it. You can't.
No, looking back on it, I had a great day.
We did
too.
We had a great day.
I know you did. You
remember
drank
the priest?
A lot. Tommy touched up my aunt-in-law.
Sorry.
Priest was hammered. Your dad didn't have underpants under his kilt.
We played a game.
We relive this every time.
Fitzy was underdressed.
Tom bought a pack of cards.
Oh, no, that was me. I put them under your dinner plates.
Yeah, with men on the back of them.
Who were
displaying some beautiful leather outfits.
Where's this story going, Whipper? Come on.
I'm trying to work out what's better. And you'd agree with me here, Fitzy, your wedding day or the Bucks party? Bucks party's pretty good, isn't it?
Don't look at me.
How often do you get to have everyone together and get a bit loose? Every weekend. Besides that, your Bucks party.
Yeah.
This bloke was put in charge of organising a Bucks party. His name's Martin. Now, Martin was the best man and had been so close to the groom. For 18 years, they were best friends. And, of course, if you are the best man, then you're in charge of organising the best Bucks party possible. So Martin got to work and he thought, we're going to fly into state and we're going to go to the races. So this is going to be a special day.
Yeah.
He gathered together the cost of what this would be. And for the 20-odd people involved, they've gone hard. And he's pulled $12,000 together. That's what it was going to cost for the Bucks party.
Wow.
You little beauty. Well done, Martin. This is going to be a weekend to never forget. Everyone arrived at the airport, unfortunately. Has anyone seen Martin? Has anyone? Guys, can you call Martin? Yeah, I tried earlier. He's not answering. $12,000 and no Martin. He's gone.
He's done it.
He's fled.
He's done a runner.
No flights were booked. No hotels were booked.
Oh,
nothing was organised.
Genius.
Martin had a couple of issues behind the scenes and decided just to run off with that 12 grand. Finally, they did get in touch and Martin tried to convince the groom that he's got terminal cancer and needed it for an operation.
Oh, no, I've heard this before. Bill Gibson. Well, Darren Creswell did it at the Sydney Swans as well.
Did he?
Yeah, he used to ring his old teammates and say he had a gambling problem.
Mm.
So can I borrow 5 to 10 grand and say that his mum was crook?
What do you reckon was right and wrong with Martin? Gambling problem.
Was it a gambling problem?
Same thing.
Well, see, Andrew, there was rumours of the Fremantle Dockers as well, is that Andrew Wills, he said, oh, boys, why don't I organise the footy trip at the end of the year? And he raised around about $20,000 for the boys to go away as well.
Wow.
Did a runner. left the club, got delisted. The club got rid of him, and he said, well, if you're delisting me, I'm out of here, and I'll take the footy trip money with me. They never saw it.
And that was the player's cash.
Mm.
Easy way to make a few dollars. If anyone wants me to organise their bucks party.
Well, the only other one is they say that when you do Mark of the Year or if you win a big award in the AFL, you win a car, Sarah.
Yeah.
And the controversy is, if you win Mark of the Year and you win a car, do you get to keep that personally or do you have to divvy it up between the team?
You get to keep it personally.
Yeah.
You took the mark.
This is the thing.
Are you meant to sell the car and divvy it up?
Someone's kicked the ball to you for you to take the mark of the year.
Set it up.
It's a team. You've got to sell it and divvy it up.
Who took the wicket?
Yeah, okay.
It's a tough one. There you go, guys. I'm not going to lie to you. We're in the trenches right now. Two kids, 2 under 2, as they talk. I mean, Luke Minter, who works here at Nova, had 3 under 3.
That's ridiculous.
What are you doing to yourself?
To 3 different women as well, which was an amazing.
I know, and 3 different nationalities.
Don't talk about Luke like that.
Well, I know. Well, he's very close to his employees, and that's why we love him. Thanks, Luke.
Fitzy.
No, he's not. He's got a beautiful wife and kids.
They're in Thailand. Anyway, it's flat out at the moment, and we've been talking about how we've been running a couple of interviews to get a nanny to come and help out, just to do some of the basics, mate. What I didn't realise is, with 2 kids, you don't get a chance to do anything to yourself. Like, even trying to go to the toilet is hard to do.
Well, you don't take the kids to the toilet.
Sometimes
Why
you
not?
Have to. Sometimes
Why wouldn't
you
just
have
take
to.
Your kids in?
Well, no.
If you need to keep an
probably
eye on
Ted
one.
And Jack aren't at the age where they could probably just lean over the toilet and take a leak with you, Sarah.
No, but if you need to go, can't they just stand in the bathroom while you
I've
go
I've done
to
it
the
before.
Loop?
Just put one on the floor.
Yeah.
One of the kids on the floor.
No, I don't think you need to. One thing that you do have to do teach kids, and you'll probably cop this very, very soon, but they love, for some reason, young boys love to go in. They think it's a water slide when you walk into a public toilet and there's a trough.
Oh, no way. Mate, they do. Every kid does.
That's one thing that you have to teach your children straight away.
That is not a water
slide. The amount of times I've walked into a public toilet and gone, No!
Don't touch that.
Don't touch it.
Kiwi's going wet and wild.
Yeah. It was starting to line up.
Oh, don't.
To ride it.
Don't confuse them. It's just hard to know. I mean, it's weird having a stranger come into your house in the interview process.
Yeah, what kind of questions do you ask them, Whips?
Oh, I get the hard stuff. Well, I'm kind of the stand backish, almost crossed arms, judging from the corner of the room, just to make sure.
What's your Instagram account?
What else do you... Oh, no, there's research that goes on beforehand. We stalk them.
And what kind of screening?
Yeah, if they're too social... I want that doesn't sit too well with me.
Questions like, if a guy replies to you, how long do you take before you reply back?
No, more serious questions about, times that you've been challenged when you're looking after kids and what would you do in this situation.
Okay. Having babysat for Whipper, is it questions like, did you eat the last bit of chocolate I left in the fridge? Because I know I asked you around to babysit, but I had 2 pieces I was saving for when I came home from dinner. And I said to him, no, I'm pretty sure they're still there. I didn't eat them.
Yeah, it's
well,
questions like
Well, I can't
like
find them.
I mean, if I get home on a daily basis and someone's eating the chocolate, I'll be pretty upset about it. Yeah. And you don't want to judge them too as they walk through the door. Like a mate of mine, Huey, I've told you about, a girl turned up and she had her phone in a phone holder on the side of her belt. And he thought, well, the rest of the interview is just a waste of time. Because I'm not employing anyone that carries a phone on the side of their belt.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
That's a terrible thing.
You should have just shut the door straight away. Dave in Seven Hills, what are your thoughts, mate?
Hey, Whipper. I'm calling through because I actually would like to apply for the job, mate. I am your man.
No, old Dave. We did speak about this. No mannies.
Yeah.
We're not having another man.
Yeah, Dave.
Go for it. Do you remember remember that old TV show, The Nanny?
Yes. Yeah.
Name named Fran.
Yeah.
With Fran Drescher.
Yep.
Well, they call me Man Drescher.
That's not bad.
All right.
Well, Man Drescher.
Dave, have you got any nannying experiences?
Oh, look, I've got plenty. Overseas travel, if you want to take the family on holidays, happy to come through.
Oh,
got younger cousins that I'd hang out with.
Yeah, sure.
All the appropriate checks. And look, I mean, you need some time to yourself, You need to go to the toilet, down to the little boy's room, as you would just say.
Yeah.
I can watch the kids for a couple of minutes on the TV. No worry. You got Netflix, don't you?
It's not about the couch.
Spend a bit of time. Go for a long walk with Lisa around Centennial Park.
Why do I feel like
Well, I mean, she doesn't look too bad, and it sounds like your house is...
You're hired.
No, Dave. Thanks for your call, mate. We will have a look at your application. It's highly unlikely. All right, so we've got a lot of calls coming.
Guys,
this is good. Nanny applications on the radio show. I'm happy to do this.
The calls are flooding in. Magic Millie has just told me that Delta Goodrum has rung through.
You're kidding me. Delta Goodrum, are you there?
Hey, guys, I was listening to the show, and I'm just staying with her. I could babysit.
Delta Goodrum, are you applying for the role of our babysitter slash nanny, are you?
I am, actually. I think I'm good with
that. That's great. Oh, I mean, Delta,
I
you know
feel
that...
like yeah. I'm always going to help out a friend when they need, like, you know, just give me a buzz.
Okay, because Ted likes to go to the
any
park.
Any excuse to watch, like kids' shows, I'm good.
Yeah, you've got to watch In the Night Garden with Eagle Piggle and Macapaca and Upsy Daisy, if that would be
I'm
okay.
Down. I'm there.
Yeah, but see, Delta, you've got a busy schedule. We know how busy you are. Are you sure that you really want to waste your life in the Whipley household?
It's
hard. It's a very hard life in there, Delta.
Well, you know what? Recently, like, I'm heading over to Nickelodeon, so I was like, well, I figure I'll just take the kids out. Let's go. Let's go to the show.
Oh, Slime Fest.
See, I did...
I'm recruiting kids around Australia.
That is awesome. Do you know, it's one of the best days. I took Huey and his best mate, Daniel, last year at Delta. Do you know, you're in for a good sliming. Those kids really get involved.
I love it. That's what I'm saying. Even though we've the kids are really young, figuring.
Yep, yep.
Build a day out. Let's go to the slime fest.
Yeah, slime them.
They
why
can
not?
Be backstage while I'm hosting, and yeah. I'll be like, all right, this is how it rolls, guys. Ed, Jack. How we roll.
Yeah, so when the kids come home and they're green, I'll go, what happened?
You know, at Slime Fest, there's all these different areas, and you can sit up the back on seats, or down the front is the Slime Pit, Delta, and you've probably seen the Slime Pit already. You could maybe just leave Ted and Jack in the Slime Pit and come back a couple of hours later when you're finished.
Yeah, okay.
That's babysitting at its best. Yeah, hey, bluff there.
I'm not sure you're going to get the job.
Kids. No? Oh, no.
Is there going to be any Wallabies players there that you... that we can keep an eye out for, Delta? Anyone?
I don't know. Maybe if the Wallaby players have kids, then I'm sure they can come to the show.
You know that we're not the type of show that does this. Woman's Day is reporting that you are seeing Drew Mitchell. Look, we don't need you to tell us. Can I just say, I've met that man.
Great man.
He is a great man. He is a great footy player. And if it is true, well done. Thumbs up, Mrs. Goodrum. Well done.
Mrs. Goodrum.
Well, not Mrs. yet, Miss Goodrum. You're not
down,
married yet.
Down.
God, you're not that far into the relationship.
No, I was turning into my mama, Mrs. Goodrum.
Mrs. Goodrum, yeah. But, so, okay, yeah, we're not going to say
that.
You know my new rule in life when it comes to this?
Yes.
My new rule, not speaking.
Yeah, you need...
No kiss and tell.
Yeah, understandable.
No kiss and tell.
Well, I was hoping to see you get slimed on House Husbands, to be honest with you, Delta. I mean, you're filming that at the moment, aren't you?
I love it. I'm working with, like Gary Sweet and Hugh Sheridan and Julia Morris. Like, those guys are just, you know, and Reese. I mean, he's
Reese Muldoon. Love
him. Oh, I love him too. Like, he's beautiful. And those guys are just so incredibly, they just open arm to me straight away. And they're all such talented, like, actors and actresses that it's so good to be in their company to be able to really, like, get my muscles back up and be, you know, acting with them and playing a role. It's a total honour.
So what is your character in House Husbands? Do you come in and rip someone away, or what's your role?
No, I'm a reading recovery teacher.
Right.
Definitely not real life. Yeah. Do not be taught by me when it comes to spelling. But don't worry, Weber, I will make sure the kids know.
Thank you. I need that.
Starting young.
The plot will thicken on House Husbands.
Well,
wow.
But you're a busy girl. You got Slime Fest first. You're also performing in October at the Kudos Bank Arena, October 28th. Tickets still to that. But slimefest.com.au. Kids, get on to Mum and Dad. Delta is your host, and no doubt she'll be performing for you as well. You'll be able to slime her as well. It's going to be a big day.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So it'll be a lot of fun. These days are so much fun.
Thanks listening to the show. We really appreciate it.
And thanks for looking after the kids at Slime Fest. I'm going to hand them to you. They're all yours.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Delta.
Well, this is very, very exciting because the Boomers have beaten Lithuania overnight and they are into the semi-finals. And we join this man now live from Rio. Very exciting. Joe Ingles, welcome.
How are we doing?
Joe, it's exciting times. The Boomers are sitting in a great position.
It is. It's obviously so far so good. But, for us, it's a long-term goal of winning a gold medal. And we're two games away from that now. But, still a lot of work to do.
Joe, it's not very often that you can get the Boomers together. You can get Bogut together, Patty Mills, yourself. You boys are so busy with your basketball lives, and it's hard to get a team cohesion together before a huge event like this, but you boys have just seemed to have clicked. Is there a lot of hard work that's gone into this before the competition?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's been over the last probably 10 or 15 years. A lot of us went to the AAF together when we were 15, 16 years old.
And, yeah, sure.
And I've been involved with the national team since that, really. So it's the first time we've really had everyone together, with obviously with Boga with some injuries and stuff. So to have everyone together and doing our little hula hoop trip before, and then now to be playing so well, we knew we could do it. But obviously we're all playing in different seasons for so long, you never know. And it's worked out really well, but like I said, we've still got a couple of games ahead of us to finish it off.
Yeah. Well, Joe, I mean, the feeling back home, God, we're as proud as punch, and there's a feeling of real hope in the air here for you guys. Did you feel that when you took on the Dream Team, when you played in that first game against them?
Yeah, I think we, from the first game, really. We played France first game, who are a really good team, and got the win over them, and then to back that up against Serbia, and then obviously the States, we lost, but we were...
right in there.
Effort, but in the, obviously, at the end of the day, we still lost the game, and to get two solid wins at the end of that, and then playing crossing over against Lithuania was third in the world, and a really tough challenge. Mm. But we played really well. It was one of our better games we've ever played together.
Massive.
We have to back that up. We've got another really tough opponent in Croatia or Serbia on Friday, and. Definitely no walkover, so we've got to prepare and recover and get ready for that one.
Have you been hanging out at Copacabana Beach, or have you been told to stay away, Joe?
I've been the most boringest Olympian you've probably ever seen. I haven't left the village. I left the village one time for dinner to see my dad, and that was about it. So we've all been pretty quiet, to be honest. We've obviously had a pretty strong focus on what we wanted to do, and it's worked so far, so... I think I'll just lock myself in my room for the last few days.
What have you been doing, Joe? Is there a table tennis table? Have you got PlayStation there? What have you been doing to keep yourself busy?
There is table tennis, actually. The Aussie Hub, where all the athletes kind of hang out and can get coffee and all that, there's one out there. And me and Chris Goulding have had some pretty heated battles. But, just hang out. Obviously, there's so many other athletes and teams and old teammates and stuff that you see around. And we've been practicing every day, recovery and obviously trying to get some sleep as well. So days actually get a bit more filled up than probably what you'd think.
Have you seen any other events, Joe?
I haven't seen one other event on TV, sorry.
Joe, I mean, I take comfort as an Aussie back home that you're 100% focused. Yeah. I'm loving this, but God, there's a lot going on around you, mate. There's plenty of distractions.
Yeah, there's a lot of annoying people down here right now, but it's just it's obviously a good vibe down there. The Aussies can all come down and have coffees and hang out, and there's a Channel 7 feed down here so they can watch TV, and it's a really cool atmosphere, but the basketball boys have been pretty quiet this trip, to be honest.
Please tell us, though, Joe, when it's finished, you might go for a tour up to Christ the Redeemer, or you might even just go for a beer down the Copacabana Beach.
Oh, for sure, when it's done, but we actually play all the way through to the day before we leave. So the flight's on the 22nd. So, I think we'd much rather have a few quiet days and come home with a gold medal than waste our time doing anything like that.
Well, but you know what I'm going to...
We'll have plenty of time back home.
You know what I love, Joe, is when you do win the gold and then they show the photos of the Dream Team playing volleyball on the beach.
We've been so proud of you, Joe. You guys have been on absolute fire at the moment, mate. Appreciate you coming on the show and bringing home for us, big fella.
No worries. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right. Good luck, on you, Joe. See good you, luck.
Fitzy and Whipper. Nova.